You've tuned into WRCT Pittsburgh, the shining beacon above in a sea of mediocrity here in Western Pennsylvania. This is the show Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ Where It's At. And tonight we have a very, very special show. We've assembled an international panel of experts from around the world. The topic is circumcision. I would like to introduce Joseph and Brenda. Joseph and Brenda are from, well, Joseph's from Ireland.
Yes.
Representative of Ireland. And Brenda, I believe you're from the Midwest?
Straight American. Florida, actually.
So representing Ireland and Florida, Joseph and Brenda, and representing the Baltic states. And I'm sorry. Bavaria and Brenda and Steve. No, wait. I'm sorry. Antje and Steve are from Bavaria and Western Pennsylvania, respectively. So a little awkward start there, but, you know,
multicultural.
I always hit the ground running. What I found so interesting, actually, I actually think that, I mean, I don't know how it is in Ireland or, mm-hmm. you know, Germany, but in America, circumcision is a national tragedy. I mean, every year millions of babies are systematically mutilated by our medical system. I find this shocking, and people don't even know, half the time they don't even know what they're missing. I mean, I hate to always bring things back to, like, me and my mother, but I think this is a perfect example of, like, what is wrong with America. I was talking with my mother about circumcision. I was like, you know, Mom, you horrible monster. Why did
those
you
are your words?
No, I love my mother dearly, of course. I'm just exaggerating a little bit. But the question is, here I have one penis. It's the only one I get for my whole life, you know, except for the one that I can have permanently.
Except for your 1,000-piece penis suit.
Nothing detachable.
And my father's uncircumcised, and so presumably she had, you know.
How do you know that? I mean, did you talk to your dad about that?
I talked to him about it. I've actually seen my father's penis once or twice in a non-sexual setting.
So what does he think about the different states between both of your peni?
Well, that's what I don't get. This is an insight into my family dynamic. I mean, so he's uncircumcised and presumably, I would think, would be opinionated about it. But I guess my mother won that argument. When baby Corey was born, that's me, and they decided whether to circumcise it, she won. And the thing she said was, like, she said, I think uncircumcised penises have a certain odor.
Ooh. Well, right. That was a wonderful hello
to
your dad.
Here I am. I'm giving away, I don't know what the units of sexual pleasure are. I'm giving you quintillions of orgasmatrons have been just deleted from my life permanently because my mother thinks that uncircumcised penises have an odor. Am I bitter?
Well, so it's probable that way back when you were a little tiny baby being born, mm-hmm. it was just natural center practice. I mean, without no questions asked, to go ahead and circumcise him because it was considered to be healthy and less riskful for other diseases or cancer or everything else, and just the right thing to do. Kind of like breastfeeding was wrong for a while. However, good news is that in the recent years, like recent decade, people are moving away from it. It's not standard practice anymore. Believe it or not, doctors, you generally have to request it in order to get it in most hospitals. There are many who still do it, but
so the default is uncircumcised.
The default is moving towards uncircumcision.
So you're a mother. Are you the mother of a male child?
Yes, I am.
And was that child born in a Pennsylvania hospital?
Yes, he was.
And what happened? What did they?
The deal is that in the prenatal classes that you're supposed to go to but don't actually have to go to, and Lamont's classes. This is one
subject. We're not living in a dictatorship yet.
No. Right. It's highly recommended, and I find them very useful for any mom-to-be or parent-to-be. I highly recommend them. But circumcision is one of the topics covered, and they now know all of the myths and realities. And the reality is that circumcision really is no better in any way, in any proven way. There are a couple of ways that are suspected, but nothing is proven, and it's basically... It boils down to it's your choice if you want him to follow your religion or look like his dad or just do it, then you can.
The family photographs and stuff.
But you have to sign forms and you have to request it from the doctor at least in the hospital I was at, mm-hmm. to actually get it done.
See, the reason I'm a little bit curious about this is because a friend of mine had a child, and this couple had a child, and they, I talked them out of having him circumcised. But it was weird because, like, a couple of times the nurses came up to them and they're like, oh, did you forget to sign your circumcision release form? And
yeah, like, no, there are many hospitals. So I actually was in a hospital which I would consider to be very, very advanced. It was very technological. It's very large. Everything is wonderful about it. I fully expect that in many smaller hospitals throughout the nation, it is still expected that you do it.
Well, this was in Pittsburgh, healthcare capital of the world. I mean, this was not...
Yes.
I mean, this
was it varies from hospital to hospital. There are small hospitals here in Pittsburgh as well.
Is this a sort of the same thing
small
as...
hospital.
Are you unclean if you're uncircumcised? Like, Americans shave their underarms or their armpits and their legs, and is this just part of that whole obsession with cleanliness?
That was one of the original reasons for doing it, is it was believed that an uncircumcised man would just not be as clean. And indeed, there is a little bit of truth to that, in that the foreskin covering the head of the penis will collect stuff, smegma, it will eventually get things caught in it if you don't clean it properly. However, it is very, very simple to teach proper cleanliness techniques to a young boy. Teach him to shower daily or whatever, and all that can be avoided with no problem. So it's not a real issue.
So I just want to point out that having grown up uncircumcised, I never actually had problems cleaning without... No one actually taught me how to clean, but I never seemed to have problems with it, so I don't know whether this is one of those urban legends or not.
It's this humming thing that's bugging me. Well, I mean, so, you know, I mean, certainly there's the longstanding Jewish tradition, and, I'm not going to, like, take 5,000 years of Jewish history, you know, to task on the show. But, the thing that I find is so strange is that there is some sort of, it's a strange kind of prejudice, right? I mean, you know, my mother, who's otherwise, you know, a totally organic person, would argue that, you know, that the human body in its natural state is the most perfect thing. You know, meanwhile, like, yanked off my foreskin within moments of my being born, right? And so, you know, people claim there's a cleanliness issue, but I think it must be some sort of horrible psychological need to control and emasculate their male child. Because, you know, I mean, as you pointed out, you know, it's entirely trivial and straightforward to, like, yeah, you know, to clean the penis. I mean, maybe there's a slight additional effort that's required.
Entire nations have survived without being decimated by intact foreskins.
Well, there's also the argument that it also really isn't anything that is proven that says you're being hurt by this. I mean, there are arguments in that you're missing out on your sexuality, but from my experience, circumcised men still like sex, and there may be a sensitivity issue, but it's not I don't know. There's nothing. There's no studies on how serious it is. Uh-huh. So that's one of the arguments.
So, but is someone saying that uncircumcised or circumcised men don't like sex as much or don't get as much out of it, or
I think the argument is that they, so the argument against circumcision would be that circumcision takes away sexual pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't there like a movement in the U.S. a couple of years back, or like it started then, I don't know for sure, where circumcised men who were, I don't know, in their 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever, where they wanted somehow something.
They wanted their foreskin back.
Wanted that back because they said we're missing out on sexual pleasure.
However, having never talked to a guy who is remembered being both circumcised and uncircumcised, I really have nothing to back up this.
Yeah.
But there are examples of it, and it's so topical that you should mention that because we have a book. Would you like to read?
Yes, we have. One of our research assistants got this book just especially for this program, The Joy of Uncircumcising.
That is uncircumcising.
Uncircumcising. Exclamation mark. Jim Bigelow, PhD, latest developments, non-surgical and surgical.
Interesting.
So apparently this can be reversed.
That was briefly better, by the way, producer Alan, and then it got bad again. Ooh, it's better now. Well, bad.
Technical
issues.
We're
having a little bit of technical problem. Better. Very good. We're not hearing anything at all, so I guess that's good. So, and then as a PhD, he knows what he's talking about. Jim Bigelow, PhD. joy.
I presume he did a study in this.
And so this is men who are so desperate to restore their foreskin that they're actually doing these kind of different kind of therapies. I mean, I guess there's surgical approaches, but I think the techniques recommended in this book actually involve pulling the remainder of your normal skin forward and, like, taping
with
it.
Weights.
Or weights, various...
stretching. Yeah, stretching.
Apparently.
It.
So, like, just pin a weight on to the end of the penis and stretch it out.
And just, well slowly, over time, yes.
So I can't imagine what it's like without a foreskin, but I'd say that having...
It's okay, I mean...
they're living.
Trying to imagine living without one, I'd probably undergo something that required weights just to get it back.
So the key problem is that, you know, of course, there's people like you, Joseph, who have always had a foreskin. There are people like me who...
And me.
And Steve, who've never had a foreskin. But there are test cases. There is, for example, I was reading on the web, on the internet, which, of course, everything...
The World Wide Web.
On the internet. So a man was in the army, and he got an infection, 18 years old or so, got an infection in his on his penis somewhere, on his foreskin, and... The army doctor, you know how army doctors are, they're not too sensitive. They're like, okay, let's just remove the foreskin. And that's what they did. And he's kind of bitter about it. I mean, he's not, you know. He's like, gee, I really miss my foreskin. I wish I had it back. And I think that's, you know, I think that's approximately, captures it pretty well. I mean, you know.
Actually, I believe there is another data point for the uncircumcised men being more sensitive because another reason a while back to get the babies cut was that it was supposed to stop masturbation.
or perhaps heighten endurance. Yeah.
Stop masturbation?
By desensitizing?
It's supposed to...
Not
discourage it, at least.
Interesting.
Because foreskin is supposed to help in that.
Oh.
Joseph, as an uncircumcised man, may I ask you a question about as a circumcised man, may I ask you as man a question?
Actually, before you answer the question, I'm just going to put the numbers out there. Just if you're out there and you're circumcised, please call the station at 621-9728. If you're uncircumcised and you have questions or comments, please call the station at 268-9728.
Or turn up.
So it's 621 for circumcised, 621-9728, circumcised, 268-9728. All right, go ahead.
So my question is, I've stood in the shower several times and just wondered, you know, like, what would it be like if I were uncircumcised? And it almost turns my stomach, interestingly, you know, to think of this. You know, have you ever sat there, stood there in the shower and thought, well, you know, I really love this foreskin and I wouldn't want to live without it. I mean,
well, I mean, extra bits to play with are always good, but I don't. I can't think of. No, it seems perfectly natural to me, and just like it's like washing behind the ears, right? It's when you're in the shower. It's just another thing to remember to clean, but it's easy to do, and I don't know.
Do you forget from time to time?
I have only forgotten once, and that was when I had my first and only lesson about smegma, and I've never repeated that, but it was.
I mean, this isn't like, you know, you forget for, and then 12 hours later you've got, you know, a giant festering sore. I mean, this is like...
Yeah.
You were telling me that dinner, you learned the importance of cleaning your penis after your first...
Yes.
What was this now?
It was strange because at the time I was having my first sexual relations with a girlfriend, and I thought I had caught something.
Oh, you caught something.
I thought I had actually caught some venereal disease because I was getting itchiness and weird deposits.
And just to educate our freaked out viewers, so the uncircumcised
men—it's all perfectly natural and reversible.
Where if you're uncircumcised, you have to be a little bit more careful because this thing called smegma, which is this kind
so basically what you have. Any uncircumcised man out there already knows this, but for those people who have never experienced
this is Western Pennsylvania. I'm like 97% of people here are circumcised. Probably.
I'm sure people have show and tells here.
You have international students. Probably none of them are.
Well, students are a little bit more cosmopolitan.
But, I mean, all you have to remember is this is part of your body that's lubricated from time to time and therefore can catch stuff and keep it there and possibly grow things.
Hello.
Okay, so we've got a caller in here. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Thanks for calling in.
How's it going?
Did you call on the circumcised or the uncircumcised line?
Well, it's circumcised, but I just had a certain question on a specific matter, being what exactly or where exactly is the specific spot of F spot, it's called?
I've never...
like the G spot in women, like they say there's an F spot in man.
And you don't think you have it?
No, it's not G-spot. That I don't think I have it. It's just I didn't understand the whole thing.
I would suspect, so I've never heard a name for spots on guys, but I would suspect that what you're talking about is what I've heard referred to as a sweet spot, where it's... Sean knows what I'm talking about. Which is just below the head of the penis.
Okay, it's like right below it?
Yes.
Well, I mean, so everybody knows about that spot. Are you sure that's the spot? I mean, so this...
That's the traditional sensitive spot that I've known on men. In women, it's the G-spot and it's inside. But
I mean, so that's why I'm a little bit confused, because I think there's like at least three possible spots this could be. So there's certainly a very sensitive spot under the head of the penis.
Right.
There's certainly, everyone talks about, you know, stimulation of the prostate, which requires you to, like, you know, insert a finger into your partner's rectum and sort of...
You serious?
Yes.
Interesting. I think I heard this once in a penis envy. It was Cytology magazine, where the fetus, when it was born, supposedly had a spot, and the spot, before it developed into a penis, it resided as just a spot considered the G and the F spot, where when it became a male, the female would then have penis envy, for it did not grow in the spot. Or something, I don't know.
Wow.
Mm. So, I have something to say. In fetuses in the womb, they basically, the developing penis and the developing clitoris look almost identical, which is why they have a hard time telling male from female in the womb occasionally.
Don't the males have bigger brains?
So that's actually, this is ultra fascinating. This is actually, so, you know, you are educating our experts, because I don't think we necessarily know about this F-spot. The third thing I was going to say, which I thought I'd heard, was that I thought that perhaps the foreskin itself had some areas of sensitivity, like nerve endings inside your fabulous foreskin.
Being skin, it definitely probably has nerve endings.
But I mean, like, extra...
It adds to the whole effect.
I have stunning nerve endings. I've never examined my nerve endings to do with my foreskin at all, but maybe for a follow-up episode or something, we could...
I think you should. I mean, so you should really do some kind of scientific test. Maybe, like, insert a Q-tip into your foreskin.
Damn.
Sorry, caller?
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I'm going to let you guys go.
Okay, well, thanks so much for calling in.
Well, thank you for speaking with me.
I hope we
have fun.
Have a good night. Any other callers want to call in and with questions, comments, concerns, or scientific facts, the numbers are for circumcised men. Oh, I didn't mention the women. I'm so...
Oh, man.
Oh, yes.
Circumcised men
sexist.
Or women, 621-9728, or uncircumcised men, 268-9728.
I really hope there are no circumcised women out there.
I haven't wondered. I know this is a very touchy subject, and I will walk softly here. But yeah, I know that David Bowie's wife Iman has been circumcised.
I did not know.
And because she's from Ethiopia. And I've often wondered if they have a regular sex life. You know, if they just, you know, I don't know what the, you know, I don't really know what the effect, if you know, if she can't enjoy sex, or because I'm not a woman, I'm not really sure as to, you know.
Well, the effect is essentially to lessen the sexual pleasure. I mean, what happens is essentially they do the same thing that they do to the penis, they then do to the clitoris on the female, and since that is a major arousal organ, then it is affected. I believe it is still possible to enjoy sex, or maybe to some extent at least get lubricated, or else the men would be kicked out, I'm sure, but, well, maybe not. But I think it was designed to possibly even prevent orgasm or prevent major sexual arousal.
I think the practice is very, I mean, some women, this is usually in Africa and mostly sub-Saharan Africa, but some women get full clitorectomies, some women get most of their, like, vaginal lips sewn up and just a little tiny hole left for urination, which I think maybe they cut open I don't know what they do when the woman finally needs to give birth. And so there's a variety of things. I'm actually not an expert on female genital mutilation. But
strange, actually, for this society to be mutilating men and not women, and for African societies to be doing
right,
kind
it's
of
a little bit ironic, isn't
it? Yeah, so. given the other attitudes towards sexual behavior, etc., in this country.
Right, but as we pointed out, you know, like with male circumcision, there may be an arguable loss of pleasure, but it's certainly not as catastrophic.
There has to be an extreme loss, because I can't imagine going around without a foreskin, so it has to be. There has to be a serious loss of sensitivity.
Well, so I think we should go into that, because we have some expertise in that area, which I'd like to focus on. You're talking about this at dinner. Like, you said, you know, you would rather, I think you said you would rather drink a gallon of bleach than have your foreskin removed.
With razor blades, actually.
So,
I cannot imagine going around with my foreskin retracted all the way, because it would be way, way too sensitive against clothes and stuff.
I still think it's very interesting. Steve previously mentioned how repugnant the idea of a foreskin is to him, and yet here you are, you know, having
whatever culturally entrenched,
you know, your favorite viewpoints, your favorite cylinder of skin. So let's
get it on.
Let's focus on these two opposing viewpoints. So one thing that you mentioned, which I think is interesting, is the sort of penis head sensitivity thing. Is it because your penis is in its happy little sheath all the time?
It's protected from the environment and therefore can be. It's in its little ivory tower, I suppose. In some sense.
I mean, something that I'm not quite familiar with. You said, like, touching your penis head is extremely sensitive.
Yes, and actually, it's got two areas, almost like an on switch and an off switch. The I don't know how you might physically describe her in the penis.
You're also trying to, because the callers always come first. Okay. We do have another caller. So, is the caller on the air?
Hello, is this DJ Where It's At?
Yeah, it is.
He's got two turntables.
Hello, thank you for calling in.
Good evening. How are you and your panel?
Oh, we're fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Surviving.
We're real here at the WRCT.
I wanted to vote off the out of the house this evening, I guess, the DJ.
Oh, can you do that?
Do you get a vote?
Oh, is this that Big Brother?
First, I'm hurt. Second, I think you've called the wrong studio.
No, actually,
have you got foreskin envy?
Actually, I do have foreskin envy, and that's why I called, because I am circumcised, and I've often wanted to be uncircumcised, mainly for the pleasure that I feel that I could be missing.
Mm. So you do believe that you're extremely desensitized because of this mutilation?
Well, I was just listening on the radio, and I'm sorry, I'm not sure who said this and who's circumcised and not, except for DJ Where It's At, because I've actually seen his. But
oh, who hasn't?
But I feel sometimes that from not having a foreskin, all these years of it just rubbing it in my clothing has somewhat desensitized it, and it would make masturbation and perhaps even sex a more pleasurable. Not that it's I don't get pleasure from it, but it would be more pleasurable.
So I'm sensing that you're a gay man.
Yes.
And so I was wondering, have you ever had interactions with other men who are uncircumcised, and can you describe the sexual act with them, and in this sort of a side by side comparison?
Well, it's hard to tell because I've never had one.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never had a foreskin. I mean, mine was yanked away at birth as well, against my will. But I don't. I mean, it was never a bad thing. I didn't dislike the other person's foreskin. I thought it was sexy in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And with two men, perhaps another reason why men are circumcised, they can do this thing called docking, which kind of, I guess, would closely resemble male-female sort of, you know, penetration thing going on there.
It's sort of like doing a space dock with mirror, right? You're putting one person's penis inside the other person's, like, foreskin. Is that what you're talking about?
Right. Mm. So by taking away the foreskin, not only do you take away, a young boy's, you know, curiosity about masturbation and playing with the skin, you also take away a boy's chance to perhaps place his penis into another boy's penis. Does that make? I mean, I'm not being weird about that, but does that kind of make sense?
Do you know this happens? Have you actually heard confirmed reports of this? Yeah.
Well, I don't know about young boys, and I'm not encouraging that. I'm not saying that's correct. But I mean, children experiment. I played doctor with girls when I was growing up before I realized that I was homosexual. But am I making the panel uncomfortable?
I'm stunned silence.
Yeah, that's all extremely uncomfortable. The thing that I don't get is, like, the one man here who's uncircumcised who would appreciate docking is now profoundly uncomfortable, which I find shocking.
Yeah, there's
Well, unless there's certain exercises you can do, there's not a lot of space there for currently. But I have not experienced all that many foreskins, so I don't know whether...
Does it vary wildly? I mean, do some men have, you know, this...
Yeah, maybe
yeah,
they do.
I think our caller should be a little clearer. What I understand about docking is it's not like total deep penetration. It's just sort of like the other person's foreskin covers your penis a little.
Correct.
Bit.
Correct. It's just right? Kind of covers the head a little bit.
Yeah, we're not talking about.
It's just a little bit more intimate act between two men. That's all.
You've expanded my mind tonight. I had not even thought of that possibility.
There are actually.
Plan to try it.
There are actually fetish films that, or at least I've seen them in the past or heard of them in the past that focus specifically on the whole. Docking phenomenon, and it's you know, it's erotic, it's a turn on.
Now, as a straight man asking a gay man a question, is there a preferred penis type, cut versus uncut, for gay men, or is it?
Well, most men that I encounter are cut. Being you know, this is America.
Right.
When you stumble across someone who's uncut, it's kind of like wow, you know, it's like you know, whipped cream on the ice on the ice cream or something. You know, it's like.
But it's not a normal come challenge. Let's say that.
For some people, I think it is because gay men can be very specific about what they want sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And with the internet and like chat rooms on America Online, I'm sure you could find, you know, men for foreskin or something, you know, if you wanted to hook up with a man who, you know, had foreskin.
Do you think there are men who are positively repulsed by the idea of...
I'm sure there are.
Actually,
come to think of it, my best friend, I think, mentioned one time... He was dating, who also happens to be a homosexual, was dating a man who had foreskin, and he told me that it really bothered him. And I was like, well, you know, I don't know if it would bother me. I think it'd be kind of like something extra, you know, you get a penis, and then you get something else to do with it, too, right?
There are more
possibilities.
If I were gay, I mean, I would be totally, I can't imagine.
Squicked.
You know, I would just, yeah, I would, but this leads me to another question for all of you, I guess, for Corey and the caller, I mean, has sensitivity ever really been a problem? I mean, I'm only 22, maybe when you get older it becomes more of an issue, but I mean, I've never been, you know, walking around the block like, I wish I were less sensitive.
Okay, so the 22-year-old is uncircumcised?
Uh-huh.
Okay, uncircumcised.
I'm actually circumcised. I mean, I've never been walking around the block thinking, I wish I were more sensitive.
Okay, well, I'm 37 years old, so I probably masturbated a lot more than you and had sex a lot more than you. So by 37, I'm just wishing there was, you know, something that just, like, kind of, like, just, you know, made us a little, you know, less sensitive over the years. I'm not saying that, because I remember what it's like to be 22 compared to 37, and it's just a little bit different.
But it's not just an age thing, I mean, I think it's just, like, I mean, it sounds like you're arguing that, you know, it's your sexual feelings and your sexual pleasure are good enough. And it's sort of like the difference between, you know, ecstasy and heroin, right? I mean, one's good and one's even better, right? And so...
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't have a problem having sex, although I've never had sex with DJ Where It's At. I've only seen it.
You're missing out.
Oh, have you had sex with him?
Just to get on the show.
Special round.
So I've often thought, actually, that the perceived deficiency or reduction in sensitivity might actually turn out to be a plus.
Okay.
Giving you more staying power and stuff.
But, well, yeah, I can go and go and go.
So it's actually, it's my theory that, just random speculation, that although there probably is a decreased sensitivity in maybe just a few spots, there's also a different sensitivity in other places. I mean, for example, from my, again, very limited experience, it seems to me that circumcised males enjoy deep-throating more. I'm sorry, being deep-throated. Mm. More
or
than
in my case, both.
More than the uncut ones do.
Right. Or is it like being blind because I'm circumcised and maybe my penis isn't as sensitive like another part, like, say, behind me might be more sensitive?
That's possible, yes.
caller number one, I'm either going to put you on hold or ask you to hang up and maybe call back because we've got another caller queued up and... We've got so many callers that we just have to sort of get through them all. I hate to reject you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling, and that was fantastic. So is the next caller on the air? Hello, caller. Hello, is the caller on the air?
Hi there, this is Renata Aschenlechner.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
Guten Abend.
I am very interested in talking to you about these cut and uncut penises.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, so when I was growing up in Germany, at the time, there were there were very few circumcised men. You know, in Germany, they do not cut the foreskin.
Right. I think the Europeans are more sensible in this regard.
Yes, and so I learned.
How are they in Bavaria quickly?
It's not common practice there.
Okay. Good.
And so I was learning to give head to a man on uncircumcised men.
Is this in the public school system in Germany?
Yes, I was at a public school. Yes, that is true. And so, and I was told that I was very good at this. I had some trick I did also with my hand.
Mm-hmm.
That so to pull the foreskin down and up with them at the same time as
please
moving
don't be
with
teeth
the mouth. But then I found that when I came to America and I did this, the man, they said it was very, very bad.
Ooh.
They did not like this.
Well, so I think this is an excellent point. If what you're talking about is what I think you're talking about, the thing that uncircumcised men really like is to, like, you know, grab the foreskin and, like, you know, pump it up and down.
Yes, that is what I was doing, and they loved it so much.
Right,
yes.
You have that extra layer of... And if you try to do that with a man who's circumcised, you know, you'll probably, like, tear
his thing.
Yes, he gets very upset.
Yeah.
So, in your experience, do circumcised men lubricate less?
Well, it seems like, yes, you must be using hand cream or all kinds of things. That a whole lot of saliva, if he has a foreskin, it's very straightforward. You don't need any extra tools.
I think lubrication is not the issue, but what it is that the uncut guys have this extra layer of skin that can move back and forth freely and just doesn't have friction naturally.
Yeah, so
very easy, very nice.
Pre-installed with Astroglide.
So, Renata, do you prefer uncircumcised over circumcised then?
I much prefer, yes. It makes things very easy, very much less work, much more pleasant, yes.
But which one looks better?
Well, when they are erect, it looks the same until you start moving things. And in fact, there was a long time when I was a teenager, and I wasn't sure I would know what the difference would look like, because I had only seen them erect, you know.
So, Renata, are you in Pittsburgh?
Yes, I am. I am living in the United States of America now.
Have you found a pool of uncircumcised men here to?
Well, obviously you have to work with the foreigners here. The
yes.
Are you offering, Joseph?
Oh, Renata sounds like she's busy enough already. But
yes,
you have managed to find avenues for this German school experience.
Yes, well, if you can find a German man here, of course. And
right, then it's bingo.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'd like to float a question to the women, both the female caller and our two women co-hosts. So we've talked certainly about how being uncircumcised is convenient in a couple of ways, and there's some argument about whether it's physically attractive or physically repulsive, you know. But so the question is, when you're actually having standard vaginal intercourse, does the woman get any kind of extra, is there any extra bonus, pro or con, to the foreskin? Women... You've got the floor.
I would say that for me, I have never felt any difference.
Yeah, I believe there's really not much difference.
Yeah,
me too. Basically, so there is a difference in a small way. If the guy is hard enough, then the foreskin is going to pull back just beyond the head of the penis, or at least it'll be taut enough that it's not really loose and flapping, so it feels about the same. If he's not totally hard, then there's going to be some movement in the foreskin, and you're going to feel this extra little thing moving. And to me, that's actually a big minus. I've also had circumcised men, and when they don't get hard as hard, it's also a mess for them. So I don't know if it's actually the foreskin being there, or if it's just the general softness, and it's...
And as we know, a hard man, he's good to find.
Well, yes. They have that saying in German as well.
That's what I'd say to this.
Oh.
A world round.
So the other thing that you brought up, Joseph, at dinner was that your foreskin provides you extra staying power because you can somehow retract your little penis into...
Yes.
You can get into a position where you can keep thrusting and providing your female partner vaginal pleasure and yet not necessarily
overstimulate yourself.
I don't know if that's specific to me or actually true for all uncircumcised men, but yes, we can kind of retract while inside.
In a logical sense, you know, we can never know anything outside ourselves anyway.
Yeah, but I find that very good, actually, that I can kind of rein in the amount of stimulation that I'm getting while providing the requisite movement. Renata probably is an expert in this.
But I think that a man who has self-control is a very, very strong, very good man.
But I don't think you need to have a foreskin to have self-control.
No.
I mean, there can be strong, circumcised men also.
But it's more difficult for a circumcised man to avoid stimulation, right?
You wouldn't know.
Presumably.
Well, I'm just going on is structure.
I'm sure there are ways.
But the condom, huh?
Yes, actually the condom is...
Is this indeed similar to the condom effect, the thing that you do, your
actually,
special trick with your foreskin?
I don't actually know. I have noticed
among the circumcised or the uncircumcised men I've been with is that condoms do not stay on. I mean, they stay on, but it's like there's a big, long, flabby piece at the end, and I haven't figured out the trick to making it stay nice and tight
and
out of the way. So.
So I have another question actually for Renata about hygiene. Have you noticed that in the uncircumcised German men that you've been around that they've been less clean than their circumcised American counterparts?
Well, all I can say is that German men, they are very, very meticulous with their cleanliness.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are very, very orderly.
Okay.
So I have not noticed.
That's good to know. Yes. It's probably just the French then.
Although the French, they are very unclean, yes, it's true. I don't think that the foreskin or not affects this.
Well,
that's true.
It's probably to do with garlic as well, I'd say.
Or asparagus.
All right, so Renata, thank you very much for calling in. Unless you got another topic to share, I'd like to move on. So thank you, Renata, for calling in. If you have if anyone else has any questions, comments, or concerns, 621-9728 or 268-9728. It's a free for all. Call either one, whether you're circumcised or not, or even don't have a penis.
Wow.
As so many do or do not.
Over half the population.
You know, ironically, you were talking a little bit about this at dinner, too. It was my father's concern over my own penile cleanliness, which led to my first masturbation experience ever. this isn't going to be one of these painful stories about inappropriate touching, but rather, you know, Dad approached me one day.
Yeah.
You have to understand that I hate to keep talking about my parents, but it really has formed my psyche in a very important way. So my father said, you know, like every once in a while, all this pressure would build up in him mentally, and then he would just like blurt out some important fact about sex education, and then he'd be quiet for another five
years,
right? So one of these spurts was like, you know, son, are you taking care of your Peter? His Peter is, of course.
This is reminding me of a scene from American Pie. But anyway, go on.
Similar. Son, are you taking care of your Peter? And I'm like, you know, Peter, is that, you know, the first pope? Wasn't Peter the first pope?
He was indeed, yes.
Yes, he was.
And you know, your penis, you know. And I'm like, what do you mean? My father, not only had
What age were you, by the way? Do you remember? Is this 10 or 15?
Approximately 5th grade, maybe 6th grade.
That means nothing to me.
It'd be about 11.
10 or 11.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm like, no, what are you talking about? He's like, you know, make sure that you're washing your penis next time you take a bath. And I'm like, okay, you know, next time I'll take a bath, I'll wash my penis.
Right.
And so I was like, whatever, you know, I was in the bathtub washing my penis, and it was there while washing my penis that I had my first orgasm. And
that sounds very clean and...
Whoa, I didn't even know you were in town. So longtime friend of the show, Dr. Jackass, has just walked in.
Are we showing off his uncircumcised penis?
I think he's circumcised.
What is that then?
That's his ugly bloated.
Oh, okay.
Visage.
So yeah. In contrast, my experience was kind of very less parentally motivated and more just because we had an encyclopedia in the house, and being a young inquisitive boy,
mm-hmm.
you'd immediately go to the sex section, like when you get a dictionary and you look up fellatio because you want to see it in words.
This is another tragedy of the internet. I'm sorry. The internet has brought many wonderful things to America, including, you know, PE ratios in the stratosphere. But mm-hmm. another thing is that it has cost America is the fact that kids no longer go to dictionaries and encyclopedias to look up sex. And
that was such a rite of passage.
Right?
And there was so much joy to be had just seeing that in words.
Why are you here?
It didn't even occur to me to do that, though.
No? Okay. It could have been the group that I ran with. But anyway, so having read that stuff...
I want you to continue, but it's just so sad. Like, kids these days, you know, you look, instead of, like, what I did, looking up sex in my Funkin' Wagnalls, you know, they type in sex, and it, suddenly they're in a chat room, and they're going to meet some 50-year-old man at the Denny's.
Like, they don't have to work for the knowledge at all.
Right?
Right? It's all handed on a platter.
Well, I remember the earmarked pages in our biology book in ninth grade.
Yeah. It's sad.
So,
where was that going?
Did you have to work harder for the knowledge? Did you have to get it from a 50-year-old man?
Okay, well, you know, Al Gore and his, you know, that darn internet has. I'm sorry.
It's sort of a karmic cycle. Al Gore invented the internet. Tim Gore is trying to make it safe. Right?
Interesting.
As in, yeah, blow it up.
Our producer's giving us, he's trying to give us some kind of ham job signal. I don't know what that is.
Faster.
I got that same signal at a truck stop like last week. Didn't know what it meant then either. But I met some very nice truckers.
Mm.
So, I'm sorry, you were saying.
Where was I?
Your first masturbation.
Oh, first masturbation. Yeah, it was from.
In the rectory.
The World Book Encyclopedia. I don't know if anyone else ever read the World Book Encyclopedia.
Oh, I did. I read cover to cover when I was a kid.
Cover to I used to do that as well. I used to take a letter every night and just...
P was my favorite.
P. No, it had to be...
Not for penis, but for painting or painter.
It had to be S for me because I wanted to find out everything about sex and reproduction stuff. And I'd read all the intimate physical details about what happens during sex, and I had no idea. And I didn't even link it up with my own body until it was actually... It was the night before my 15th birthday. For some reason. I don't know why I remember that, but...
Wow, 15th birthday, you were sort of a late bloomer.
It was even later than that. I was 16, so...
16, wow. Okay. That makes me feel better.
I can trump you all because I have a friend who didn't masturbate until his senior year of college. A male friend.
He's just saying that.
Wasn't he a 12-year-old child genius?
and no sex before then? No sexual experience at all before then?
No, I mean, he actually thought that his penis was, like, not functioning properly because he could get erections and so on, but he could never actually... bring himself to climax.
Because when I was 15, if I jumped into bed and slid too far, that was enough to bring me to climax.
Wow.
Ooh, that sounds like a recipe for a painful penile fracture.
Are you circumcised, though?
Yes, I am.
See, so there's not necessarily a lack of stimulation.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's a 15-year-old boy versus that.
Well, look, you 15. Yeah. You didn't know it.
That's true. And actually, the first time I tried, I thought I'd failed. Because I came to the end, but I thought that I had kind of not gotten to the end. If you know what I mean? Because it was anticlimactic.
What made you think you'd gotten?
Well, I read about it a bit more and I realized that what had happened was actually what was supposed to have happened, and there was nothing more to happen afterwards, except like for the necessary cuddling bit that apparently is supposed to happen after sex. But
you were thinking maybe there was a stage two in the procedure.
Yeah, I thought there was a stage two. It wasn't as earth shattering or mind blowing as I thought it would be.
That's her orgasm. That's stage two.
Oh, or his, depending on your orientation. Yeah, that's my funny first masturbation story.
I read The Naked Ape. My parents had a copy of The Naked Ape, and I kind of would sneak down, but I never had any kind of experience with the Naked Ape, the book. So that's...
my first experience.
The thing is, I don't know what The Naked Ape is, although my mind is kind of...
There was this book. It just gave this graphic depiction of... It wasn't like a romance scene out of it. It was a scientific description of what physical effect sex had. Oh. You know, they studied people having sex, and I guess my parents had obtained this book when they were in college, and maybe I left the evidence of the book out that I had been reading it, and because the next time I went down to finish up, it was gone, and and I don't know what happened to it. But
had your parents set out lotion and Kleenex?
No, I mean, I wasn't allowed to watch Who's the Boss because my mom didn't quite like the sexual innuendo that Mona, you know, brought to the show. So the facts of life.
Hey, I mean, I could back them up on that one. Alyssa Milano, star of Who's the Boss, went on to be, you know,
softcore. Yep.
In fact, playing the Long Island Lolita herself in one of the competing TV mini-dramas.
I didn't know that. Yeah. You're an amazing store of illicit knowledge.
Almost suspiciously amazing.
You know, I've never talked about this subject publicly before, but I think it's...
that time.
And actually, I've always wondered this, and I've been afraid to ask my parents about this. It's the subject of the cum rag. That is, you know, like every masturbating male knows, like after you masturbate, you have to wipe it up with something.
Or the tube socks.
Or toilet paper. Or,
yeah, I've heard
case,
socks
the family
as
linen. But the thing, I'm sorry, what did you?
The
you,
tube sock.
Tube sock, yes, indeed.
Or if you're Jim Carroll, like the cut of me.
A fresh oil filter in my house.
But something that's funny is
always one of them.
Yeah, we had crates.
It's like peanuts, right?
Crates of them in there. I guess he could have been using them for the car. I
But the point is, like, if you have ever had semen on an article of fabric, it's actually pretty staining. And, like, I think, like, over time, like, you know, if you use the same white towel as your cum rag over and over again,
it turns yellow.
It'll get kind of yellow. And I was wondering if, like, you know, my parents were noticing this or, like, you know, buying, like, extra.
I think parents have like magnificent powers of self-denial.
Stronger
when it comes
and stronger
to certain
bleach.
But what was your modus operandi? You would just use a towel and then throw it down the chute?
Yeah, I'd use the towel and then just throw it. I would put it in my mother's dresser.
Was your youthful mind unable to comprehend the two obvious solutions? One,
yes.
Use something disposable.
Yes.
Or two, use the saffron colored towels.
Yeah. Well, I guess it was. I mean, I didn't really realize this until. I mean, I didn't think this would even be a problem until I looked at some of our white towels later and realized they were all kind of stained. And so, it wasn't a form of denial. I acknowledge that.
Well, a lot of things will wash out easily enough if you catch it soon enough.
Mm.
I mean, if Monica had just washed her dress right away, then it wouldn't have been a problem.
Well, I mean, that was like lipstick.
Did not wash her
yes.
dress.
Yes.
Oh,
that was,
right.
That was a trophy.
So in a hint from Heloise kind of way, you know, in the same way that white wine apparently helps remove red wine stains. I was wondering if you know. Female ejaculate helps remove male ejaculate stains. Or,
so I don't actually remember ever having stains from anything.
I'm picturing the infomercial right now.
I mean, the laundry metaphor is frightening, the pre-ejaculate to the pre-treatment. Right?
I guess the American detergent industry, there's a whole sexual subtext that I had never consciously acknowledged before tonight.
There used to be, at least when I grew up, there used to be this whole range of things called stain devils. There'd be about, let's say, 10 of them that you could collect. You could collect the set, and there was a different stain devil for different types of stains.
Really?
Like, there was one for grass.
Oh, they're all in one
blood.
Now. They're all in one.
They can do them all in one.
Actually, a good stain remover, I've had plenty of experience with stains, having had a small child around the house. And there's one called Zout, Z-O-O-U-T, and if you're supposed to just, like, apply it and soak it, and it does a pretty good job for most things.
So everything from wine to semen?
I haven't actually tried it on semen. Like, I had
no. But I think the name is pretty obvious. It's like, oh, well, there's a stain on the towel. No, now it's Zout.
So as a mother, as you are, and as a mother of a male child, I have to ask you this question. Are you seeing any signs of... A lot of, like, young children will, like, sort of unconsciously or instinctively touch their genitals, or they just, like, sort of play with themselves in some kind of, you know, they don't, in some kind of way that's not very self-conscious, they'll just do it wherever they're
and other people's, actually, as well, unfortunately.
And so do you, I mean, some mothers really try to teach their kids not to do this. And your mother, your kid's probably getting to be about that age. Do you find yourself doing this? What's your opinion on this kind of thing?
I have no opinion. He can do whatever he wants. So actually, I have noticed not distinct playing, and this may have absolutely nothing to do with sexuality at all, but he's still in diapers. And so he's probably close to getting out, but he knows the procedure. Lie down, take a diaper off, wipe his butt off, and then put a new diaper on. And lately, he's wanted to wipe himself. And, of course, reaching down front, there's one place he can reach. And like I said, I have no idea if that's just simply the stage in diaper changing or if he's trying to do something else. But I don't know.
He's caught a bit of late-night TV and wants to see for himself.
Who's the boss?
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't know. Having been a child of parents who... did not talk about sex. I learned pretty much everything through my own reading and experimentation. And so I definitely intend to talk to my children about sex and teach them whatever they want to know and educate them early on and then let them do whatever they want. As long as it's safe, preferably.
No, I had a paper bag over my head. I mean, having the same sort of a situation. I remember asking my friend in the seventh grade, how can you have sex with that without having an erection? You know, and I was thinking, like, the idea was not to have an erection while you're having sex. I mean, right. It just, you know, I just had no idea.
Had the World Book covered that inadequately?
See, but I hadn't made it to the Naked Ape yet, and so the most sexual I ever got was the P section of the encyclopedia as in painting, you know, like, just right. To, like, look at... pictures of people. that was about it. It was a very sheltered existence.
The school system lets us down horribly in situations like that. Even in Ireland, we don't get...
Actually, no, we had decent sex ed. I learned a lot of things through that. But I remember being one of the only ones bold enough to ask questions such as, how does it fit in there when it's hard?
Was this in a co-ed class as well?
No, it wasn't. It was all girls. But they got lots of laughs at me, though.
Okay. I couldn't hear anything because I was too busy laughing hysterically. I mean, we went to the Buell Planetarium, which is now something else. But and I remember there was on one side of the room was this male torso with a penis that would light up whenever, and then there, on the other side there was a female torso and it would light up. And I just was in the front row and I was crying the whole time. Aww. Because I was laughing hysterically because I had grown up this sheltered Catholic child. And
The planetarium had a.
In the basement.
I was going to say, I was going to write a letter to the mayor. How much time do we have left? Okay. Wow. So, what was your name? Lance. I hardly know. Lance has come back from beyond the grave. I want to give Lance, we have like 30 seconds left or so. Lance has come back from beyond the grave. I've replaced him very efficiently and without without even looking back with my co-host, Dr. Sixopoulos. But Lance, now that you're back briefly... Yes. You are a circumcised man.
Indeed, we do.
and a psychic. What comments do you have to our listening audience, specifically with respect to are you sorry that you were circumcised? Are you angry at your parents for circumcising you? Do you wish you could grow your foreskin back? And are you willing to follow the instructions of this book we have
with weights
to restore your foreskin?
Well, a couple things. One, I feel sort of like the pod people in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, right? Like, now that I am circumcised, it seems like the way I should be, and so I keep encouraging people to join me and fall asleep next to the giant pods. Mm-hmm. Second, as a psychic, I predict a horrible dystopian future where the circumcised are actually given their foreskin back in metal cybernetic form, which leads to unpleasant sexual consequences. Ow. For all concerned.
Wow. Well, on that chillingly powerful
note,
I would like to thank our international cadre of guests for showing up, and I would like to thank Lance for coming back from beyond the grave. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Please tune in same time next week, and Tuesdays at 11, and keep it real.